It's Audio Mo, 2022, Day 8. Earlier in May, a former veteran of Bletchley Park, Doris Moss, unfortunately passed away. And Doris actually lived in Northampton. Bizarrely, when I first met her and interviewed her, which would be most of this Audio Mo, I discovered she lived in Northampton. I told her I lived in Northampton. We then asked where each other lived, and it turned out we'd actually at one point lived in the same street. Something like 30 years ago, but yeah, unfortunately she passed away. She was 99. Have a listen to the amazing story she told me that's remarkable even before she gets to Bletchley Park, let alone what she did at Bletchley Park. And I will say now, she was like just about every veteran I've ever interviewed or recorded, unbelievably modest about what she did. And in Doris's case, she actually did do something really important. She had a really specific and complicated job to do. She was a real codebreaker, but she would not have it. And you will hear she would not have it, bless her. And what I didn't discover until finding out she died was that up until the pandemic, up until she was 97, she was not only volunteering at a local aged concern shop a number of days a week, but she was also volunteering at a local centre called the Hope Centre, which feed homeless people in Northampton. And she was going there, I think, like every morning. So she kind of dedicated her whole life to serving other people. She was an amazing woman, and it's really sad that she's died. I wanted to meet her again post-pandemic and take her around the new exhibition that we've got at Bletchley Park, because she worked in all three naval sections during the war, German, Italian and Japanese, and half of the new exhibition at Bletchley Park is about the naval section, and it would have been lovely to go around with her and get her thoughts on it, but unfortunately that's one regret I'll have to have because we didn't get to do it. But about a week ago I was asked by a local independent journalist who works for an organisation called NN Journal, and they're a couple of really brilliant journalists, Sarah and Natalie, and Natalie got in touch with me because they wanted to do a big obit about Doris. So I had an interview with Natalie for about an hour, and she used some of that in her obituary for Doris. I'll put a link to that obituary with this post. But for now, have a listen and be amazed by the fantastic Doris Moss.
I'm Doris Moss. I worked at Bletchley Park, and Hut 4 and Hut 6, I deciphered messages in Italian, and we had translators to do it.
Doris, I've been told that you've got a fascinating story that starts before you even get to Bletchley Park.
Oh, yes, yes, I did. My father married a Belgian girl, lady. He worked in France, so we lived in France till I was 7, and then I went to Belgium because my father went to England in the army during the war, and we had to leave Belgium because of the bombing, and the Germans might have put us in a concentration camp, my sister and I, you see. So that we took a train all the way down to the south of France. And on the way down, in the train, we were bombed by the Germans. That was my mother, my sister and I.
So this was 1940?
1940. Mm. And a dog.
What was the dog's name?
Rita. She was a Cocker Spaniel. We left her in the south of France, actually. Oh. And so we took a train, and we were bombed while we were in the train, but they didn't get the station. They came later on in the evening and got the station. Mm. And then they took us out of the train and made us walk to the next station. The Germans came over with their aeroplanes, so we all lay down flat on the ground. And when they'd gone, we left, went up to the next stop, and we went on another train through Spain up to Lisbon, and that's where we stayed. And when we got to Lisbon, a ship left with some of the refugees, but we were not on the list because we came too late. Mm. And that was sunk with all hands on deck.
Oh, good Lord.
So they decided, the British government decided to have a big ship. We went in Lisbon for 4 months, and then we went to Gibraltar. And there we waited for a big ship to take us back to England. Mm. And it was a Polish ship. And we got to England after 6 days in a Polish ship. But in the Polish ship, we were told to put our passports and our names and stand by the lifeboats because we were going through a minefield. So, of course, that's another escape. And then we ended up in Southampton. And from Southampton, we went to Shortlands where my uncle lived. And he knew somebody. We wanted to join the Wrens, but we couldn't. So he knew somebody in Admiralty. So we had an interview in Admiralty in 1942 with Mr. Birch, Frank Birch.
Oh, really?
It was Frank Birch. Ah. That's right, yeah. And we got to Bletchley Park in Hut 4 and then Hut 6.
So when you got to England, did you just want to do your bit to fight against the Germans?
Well, we thought we'd have to do something, didn't we? So we thought the best thing was to try to... And we went to Bletchley Park. That's how we got to Bletchley Park.
Because I suppose, really, more than most of our veterans at Bletchley Park, you'd actually witnessed the Nazis firsthand, hadn't you?
I did, yeah, yes.
And that must have given you a real momentum to want to do something.
Yes, exactly, yeah, yeah.
So did you have any idea... Well, obviously... I know what the answer to this question is going to be. You had no idea what you were going to do when you got here, did you?
Not a clue. Not a clue.
So do you remember those early days? What happened?
Well, we were very, very shy, my sister and I, you know, and so because we didn't speak that good English.
So did your sister start with you here as well?
Yes, yes.
All right.
And we were billeted in the village of Menton Keynes with Captain Grain and his wife, who said, if you can't speak the King's English, don't speak at all.
Oh.
So I learned the grammar from him, opposite to and different from and all that jazz. So I could speak proper English. I still had the accent, of course.
You've got a beautiful accent. Well,
if I try, I might do better, but I can't be bothered to try. I mean,
so tell me where you worked in Bletchley, and do you have any memories of what you actually did?
Yes, I do. Hut 4. Mavis Beatty used to decipher messages on the Enigma machine.
Yes.
And she passed it on to me.
Ah, right.
My sister worked on the haggling machine.
Yes.
Because John Alexander collected the haggling machine, and he's the one who first interviewed us in Bletchley Park.
Right.
You see, he came to my house.
So you had all the important people interviewing you then, didn't you?
Yes, he came to my house.
What was your day-to-day work in Hut 4?
Well, we worked, as you know, we worked shifts. So I just deciphered messages in Italian with these block things, you know, five letters, another five letters, and you move them along and you get a message.
So
it's all in the book.
So you were hand breaking these ciphers. You weren't using a machine to break these, you were using your brain.
Well, no, I wasn't using my brain at all. I was not using my brain. Anybody could have done it. I know my sister said we were decodes, but we were not decodes. We deciphered messages. I did decipher. She was on the haggling machine, but I deciphered. Took over from Mavis Beatty.
Well, bearing in mind that Mavis Beatty was one of our code breakers, and if you took over from Mavis Beatty, you were deciphering messages.
I think anybody could have done it.
Well, not everybody did do it, so... So you take that as a compliment,
Doris.
Oh,
well, thank you very much. That's very kind of you. I know my sister thinks she's done it, but she wasn't even on it. She was on the haggling machine.
And did you do that for the whole time you were here?
Yes, I did. Then I went to the Japanese section.
Oh, really?
When the European War?
Yes.
Then I went to the Japanese section, they wanted me to learn Japanese. I mean, I know the word for Liverpool, which is Ribapur, but that's about all I know. And then we went to London in 1947 to help with the history of the naval war.
Oh, right. So working on the official histories.
Yes, but as proofreaders.
Mm.
Proofreaders. So we worked there till 1947. Then I went back to Bedford, and I worked in a bank there. Then I met my husband. And we went back to live in Northampton after because he was promoted within the office. Yeah. Normally, he moved from one place to the other before he married me, you see. And he was in Bedford, and then he was promoted to Northampton. And there he stayed.
And where do you live now?
Northampton.
Do you know what? What? So do I.
You don't.
I do. I live in Northampton. So you worked in Hut 4, and then you also worked in Hut 6, was it?
With the Japanese section, yes.
So what are your memories of being here? Do you enjoy being here?
I did. I was never bored. People said they were bored. I was never bored.
Well, you were doing something very special. That's why, I think.
That's probably why, yes. And then, anybody could have done it.
You say that.
Tell you, yes, I do.
You see, in all the years I've been doing this, I've never heard one veteran brag about what they did. You're all so modest. It's amazing. And thank you so much for today.
You're quite welcome.
For this interview. And can I just say thank you for your service?
Yeah. All right, then. I must tell my family now. My youngest son came last year with me, and I've got my oldest son as well now, who's a vegan. And so Ian Standen gave him a big plate of vegan food.
Oh, that was nice.
Because I know Ian Standen very well.
Oh, that was nice of them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Doris.
You're quite welcome.